2,000 air traffic controllers could be going over the fiscal cliff. Riggs remains grounded, and Jenny Rivera's crash investigation takes many turns. This is Aero News for Friday, December the 14th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association has released a report outlining the major impact sequestration will have on the aviation industry and the U.S. economy if Congress does not act to avert the across-the-board cuts. The report states that all users and operators of the national airspace system, including travelers, general aviation pilots, airlines, businesses, and the military, will feel the impact of the cuts in the form of a reduction in airport and air traffic control services, a diminishing of the national airspace flight capacity, and increased delays in costs to airlines and lags in air traffic modernization. It further warns that cutting the FAA operations budget by the mandated 8.2% could result in furloughing between 2,000 and 2,200 air traffic controllers, about 12% of the workforce. This would inevitably lead to a reduction in services, reduced capacity, and fewer flights. The resulting ripple effect would negatively impact airlines, pilots, flight attendants, private aviation, airport employees, passengers, and the many businesses that depend on a vibrant aviation sector, which currently drives nearly 10 million jobs and contributes $1.3 trillion to the nation's GDP. NTSB Administrative Law Judge Patrick Garrity has upheld the FAA's emergency revocation order against a man that many have called the most dangerous pilot in all of general aviation, David Glenn Riggs. The original November 13th emergency order of revocation letter stated that, quote, under 49 U.S.C. Section 46105C, the acting administrator has determined that an emergency exists related to safety in air commerce. This determination is based on your lack of qualification to hold your commercial pilot certificate or a FAA-issued pilot certificate of any kind because of the nature and seriousness of the violations set forth in this order, end quote. After a two-day hearing in California, Riggs' lawyer not only failed to provide a convincing defense for the aero con man, but it appears that Riggs' legal counsel upset the judge on several occasions and had to be warned several times that actions he was undertaking in Riggs' defense were not going to be permitted. There also appears to be significant interest in undertaking further investigation into suspicions that Riggs tampered with witnesses that testified against him via lawsuits that were filed against them when correspondence sent to them less than 24 hours before the hearings began. Garrity labeled the alleged attempt to intimidate those witnesses an, quote, unconscionable action, end quote. The FAA seems pleased with the decision. FAA Public Affairs Officer Ian Greger noted, quote, we were confident in our case and pleased that the judge agreed with us, end quote. The current situation leaves Riggs with only a few days in which to appeal the NTSB's decision before the revocation order is made final. The company that owned the airplane that went down early this week, resulting in the fatal injury of Latin American celebrity Jenny Rivera and six others, had been accused of falsifying records about airplanes they had bought and sold in the past, that according to a report in the Los Angeles Times. The Lear 25 reportedly entered a steep dive at 28,000 feet and did not recover before impacting terrain on the side of a mountain near the Mexican town of Iturbide. Secretary of Communications and Transportation Gerardo Ruiz Esparza said in an interview with Radio Formula that the Lear impacted terrain only about 1.2 miles from the point that it entered the dive, meaning it was nearly vertical. The speed of the airplane may have topped 500 knots during the descent, which reportedly lasted about 30 seconds. According to the report, Christian E. Esquino Nunez, an executive of Las Vegas-based Starwood Management, LLC, which is the registered owner of the Lear, had been accused of a conspiracy to falsify maintenance documents about aircraft under their management in the 1990s and 2000s. He pleaded guilty to the charges in 2005, served 2 years in federal prison, and after his release was deported back to Mexico. In a telephone interview with the newspaper, Esquino said that Rivera was planning to buy the jet, which had been manufactured in 1969, for $250,000. He said the flight was a free demo for the singer before they concluded the deal, not a charter flight. Esquino said that he understands why authorities and others are questioning his past, but that the airplane was perfectly maintained. He said in his mind, the only conceivable explanation is that the 78-year-old pilot became incapacitated in some way, perhaps with a heart attack, and the younger pilot was unable to regain control of the aircraft. While the pilot, Miguel Perez Soto, was licensed to operate the aircraft in Mexico, U.S. authorities said he was not instrument-rated by the FAA and was not authorized to carry passengers for hire in the United States. Earlier this week, we reported that the FCC had urged the FAA to broaden its rules on the use of electronic devices in flight. Now, a second letter has been sent to Acting Director Huerta, and this one suggests legislative action if the FAA doesn't get it right. U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill has sent a letter to FAA Acting Director Michael Huerta urging the agency to allow expanded use of electronic devices during air travel as the FAA convenes a committee specifically designated to evaluate in-flight policies. Like FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski, McCaskill noted the flaws in the existing rules by pointing out that the FAA acted earlier this year to allow airlines to replace their paper flight manuals in the cockpit with tablet computers, and adding, quote, "The current rules are inconvenient to travelers, don't make sense, and lack a scientific basis. Airline employees have the incredibly important job of keeping us safe in the air. Their efforts are better spent worrying about rules that actually accomplish that goal," end quote. Noting that the FAA rules have been too slow to change in the past, McCaskill's letter suggested that if the FAA does not act on this issue in a timely manner, she is, quote, "prepared to pursue legislative solutions," end quote. McCaskill is a member of the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, which has jurisdiction over communications and aviation policy. When Aero News continues, saying goodbye to ebb and flow. What was once old is new again, and the tale of an airborne maternity ward.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Friday, December the 14th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Twin lunar orbiting NASA spacecraft that have allowed scientists to learn more about the internal structure and composition of the moon are being prepared for their controlled descent and impact on a mountain near the moon's north pole at about 1728 Eastern Standard Time, Monday, December 17th. Ebb and Flow, the Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory mission probes, are being sent purposely to the lunar surface because their low orbit and low fuel levels preclude further scientific operations. The duo's successful prime and extended science missions generated the highest resolution gravity field map of any celestial body. The map will provide a better understanding of how Earth and other rocky planets in the solar system formed and evolved. The mountain where the two spacecraft will make contact is located near a crater named Goldschmidt. Both spacecraft have been flying in formation around the moon since January 1, 2012. They were named by elementary school students in Bozeman, Montana, who won a contest. The first probe to reach the moon, Ebb, also will be the first to go down. Flow will follow Ebb about 20 seconds later. Both spacecraft will hit the surface at 3,760 miles per hour, or 1.7 kilometers per second. No imagery of the impact is expected because the region will be in shadow at the time. The Santa Barbara, California County Sheriff's Office has a newly refurbished helicopter joining its fleet this week. Sheriff Bill Brown called the aircraft, quote, "a true multi-mission capable helicopter," end quote, which can support everything from air ambulance flights to firefighting. Designated Copter 3, the aircraft is actually the sixth helicopter in the county's fleet, according to a report from television station KSBY. At the christening ceremony at Santa Ynez Airport on Monday, Brown said the new helicopter was a masterpiece, which would change the way his department can help the community. The aircraft saw life as a military helicopter before being surplus to the Jefferson County, Colorado Sheriff's Office. After being acquired by the Santa Barbara County Sheriff, it was rebuilt from the ground up, according to Brown. But perhaps more importantly, he said, The aircraft and its refurbishment were paid for by private donations from the community. Zero tax dollars went into building this new helicopter. Well, despite their best efforts to get an expectant mother to the hospital on time, the crew of a UK Coast Guard helicopter found themselves delivering a baby boy as the aircraft flew from far north of Scotland to the nearest hospital. The baby's parents live on Britain's most northerly island called Unst, located in Shetland. The Coast Guard was called by the family's doctor about 4:30 in the morning, asking about ferry times, saying that the woman was in labor. The service instead dispatched the Hilo, which was racing to get them to Linwick Hospital, but the baby, it seems, just wasn't going to wait. The Times of London reports that winchman and paramedic Marcus Wigfall delivered the baby at about 1,000 feet AGL over the island of Luna Holm some 10 minutes before they arrived at the hospital. Shetland Coast Guard watch manager Alex Dodge said it was a first for the aircraft based at Sundberg in the Shetland Islands. Mother, dad, the baby, oh, and the air crew were all reportedly doing just fine. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.